Must America be Christian? No, that's unscriptural Christian nationalism. The valid question is, can my children be Christian in America? Teach them to be more influenced and overcome by the love of God than they are by the nonsense we see today. If we have lost our love, we have already lost our liberty.
Thanks for joining us on Life Journeys, a podcast about thriving through the worst pain that life brings. With global initiatives threatening big changes to our way of life, we're going to need to activate Jesus' words about mountain-moving faith. Words That Work is the ongoing series on Life Journeys that is rooted in releasing revelational words of faith that will work every time and with everyone. It's about moving the mountains that keep us from the presence and goodness of God. It's about defining our life purpose and identity through encountering Him. Until we have the power to move the obstacles that are destroying our liberty and hope.
Eternity is at stake today more than ever. Here's what we need to consider if we want to live like Christians in America. Also, today I'll talk about how to work with what God is allowing in our nation. Understand first that authority that divides is illegitimate. The primary purpose of authority is unity, and most people don't realize that. Chaos is the result of authority that has become corrupt, and chaos is one of the fundamental battle plans of communism and now globalism. The media and areas of the medical arena and the educational front have become a narrative of everything that is anti-Christian. A staff clergy in a Christian school in England was fired when he was asked to preach a sermon on gender and homosexual issues. Even though he verified his message with the Church of England and very carefully laid out scripture, he was fired. Then there are parents who are losing their children because they won't allow them to have gender-affirming practices. There's something far more consequential than states' rights to defend the feelings of minors and to call them to question their gender, as is happening in the educational arena today. From a Christian standpoint, that absolutely can't be allowed, for it is deeply jeopardizing the eternity of our children. I'm talking about eternal welfare, and that's far more important than an ideology promoted to divide and to marginalize Christians. If you're a Bible-following Christian, you know that heaven or hell is on the line. The agenda is globalism, and most Christians who are actually following Christ know it. But they also know that it is something prophesied in both Old and New Testament scripture. So, should we fight it? I know you're not seriously asking if we should lay down for evil or not, but what should we be doing? When I asked God about it, considering the fact that evil is now walking in plain sight in our government, our media, many schools, and our financial institutions, and in world politics, God said, strengthen the church. The book of Revelation is a blueprint to follow concerning what's coming. I've been saying that for going on 4 years now. Ever since the globalists saw the tragedies of George Floyd and COVID-19 as opportunities, God is getting ready to let everything that can be shaken actually be shaken. He's calling His people, as seen in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, to get right with Him in every area where there is sin. He's calling for the wise men to build their houses on the rock in preparation for the floods. And He's calling for the watchmen of the house to stay fully alert for the coming thief. Listen, Donald Trump or Joe Biden or politics in general can't fix what's broken today. Our problems won't be solved at the ballot box, but on our knees. Government can't fix immorality, only react to it. To think otherwise is like putting a new coat of paint on a house whose foundation is crumbling. The problem is in the hearts of the people and in most of nominal Christianity. In other words, that which is Christian in name only. It truly is the church and Christians that need to be strengthened until we can be bold and express liberty that comes from Christ, not merely the Constitution. Today, America is like the proverbial frog being slowly cooked in a pot. It's too slow for many people to realize that our nation is going to lose its liberty and identity. When the dollar crashes out and our two-tiered justice system starts ramping up its prosecution of Christians who take a stand against blatant immorality, or when our elections are commonly known to be corrupt and people lose all hope in America and lose their motivation to excel because they can't win, we will have become like Russia is now. I know it. For I've ministered there and on their streets many times, and we're becoming like they are. I already know the mindset necessary to survive. You must learn to be subject to corruption and lack and refuse to have a victim's mentality. You either live Christ fully or become a slave of the state. Trust becomes a luxury you can't dare entertain for a moment. In fact, you learn to live like an addict. Only now an addict of the state. Three things describe both. Don't talk, don't trust, and don't feel. That's what's coming, and you can already sense it. Your bottom line is going to be nothing less than hope. You will have no hope in men, only in Christ. The goal, and you've already heard it, is you're going to own nothing and you're going to be happy. You will live like this. Don't talk, don't trust, and don't feel. Being numb will be your survival mentality, just like the average Russian citizen. And listen, God's going to allow it. We've known for decades that America must be taken out of the way for globalism to become established, and that's the agenda. And God's going to allow it someday. Why? Because we did. Our only viable hope will be in Christ. That's why Revelation says, "Come out of her, my people." God always allows sin's consequences to come to their ripe fruit. For he's not an enabler. He does it. He allows the hard times to come when the planting season is over and the harvest season comes. America has been in a planting season of bad seeds for decades now, and the harvest is coming. But he warns us about it to use the coming storms as a last motivation to get right with him. It's about the power that comes from hope. It's about the progression Paul mentions in Romans 5. Listen carefully. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience works experience, and experience works hope, and hope makes us unashamed. This is why I've been led for so long to find my hope in the glory of God and in his presence. It's about hope in suffering and the world's hopelessness. It's about finding the power of hope in tribulation. It's about knowing how to find the divine patience of faith that makes you experienced in the life of Christ. It's about the experience that gives you hope. Too many people struggle and they lose their hope. They lose their emotions and they lose their desire to talk about it. It's the addiction of a conquered people. Don't talk, don't trust, and don't feel. It's being conquered by the loss of possessions or the loss of health and strength or the loss of purpose and identity. It's about being worn down until you don't care anymore. Please note that Paul says, experience brings hope. It's the experience of having learned patience in tribulation, the process of learning the power of true, relentless patience that comes from living in the presence of God's glory right here, right now, right in the middle of a broken life. Why did God allow His choice disciples, even the first apostles, to be so persecuted and martyred? Why did He tell Paul when he knocked him off his horse, "I will show you what things you must suffer for my name"? Why does the Church of Jesus Christ grow the most when it's persecuted? You see, it thrives when men find a hope that is greater than the lost hopes of this world. It thrives when men find power over every earthly force that stands against them. And that is also precisely why the coming globalism will be viciously against Christianity. It's why America is already being groomed to hate Christians. Listen, we have already come to a time where the accusations against Christians will not make any reasonable sense. And furthermore, there will be absolutely no use in trying to defend the ridiculous things they will say against you. I know it for a fact, for I hear those things being said against me many times a week. I just delete them all from my Facebook ads, lest they be a useless distraction for those who follow Life Journeys. The only answer is to be strengthened in faith until we are a vibrant, joy-filled people with hope in experiencing the glory of God in our quiet time with Jesus. We're going to desperately need to learn how to fill up our souls with a foundation built upon the rock, a life that is as a diligent watchman and a person who has his lamp filled with the oil of heaven for the unexpected day. You are being worn out by all of the corruption that is coming out of the woodwork. It's just too much. There's just not enough money or time and energy to fight all the fronts that are overwhelming Americans. And God is not calling us to fight any enemies. He's calling us to find the power of hope again, and to find the power of relentless patience, and to find it based upon encountering His glory and revelation knowledge. You see, it's about finding the absolute and sure hope of heaven that is so strong, death is no longer your intimidating adversary. We simply need to learn to be more influenced and overcome by the love and the presence of God than we are by the nonsense that is surrounding our daily lives. We need to find the life of Christ that allows us to love even our enemies, for if we have lost our love, we have already lost our liberty and our authority. This is our Father's world. May we say with Solomon in Ecclesiastes when he was overwhelmed with the world around him, "Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Thy mercies are new every morning."
You can unlock the presence of God in your life. There are revelation principles that remove the mountains, keeping us from joy, hope, peace, and purpose when our world gets turned upside down. Look for these words that work with Pastor Hartika as he shares what has helped him when life got hard. And don't forget to check out his book, The Fortress and the Firebrand, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Thanks for listening to Life Journeys. Find new episodes every Wednesday and Saturday. And if you're new to this series, it begins with the September 16th episode.
The agenda is globalism. And most Christians who are actually following Christ know it. But what should we be doing? When I asked God about it, considering the fact that evil is now walking in plain sight, God said, "Strengthen the church."